God, praise God. Well, Jim, I remember you doing the teaching there in James. I'm going to kind of hit on that a little bit this morning. So you said bring your Band-Aids with you. Okay, I got some with me right now. That was always something we always enjoyed, learned a lot out of the book of James. But anyway, first one is James, first chapter 1 through 12. But the thing is, God kind of hit on me. I'm just going to do the verse 12 this morning. It says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. I'm sure a lot of us have gone through a lot of that lately, haven't we, huh? That's honestly, that's an ongoing thing all about life. We're going to be tested, challenged, stretched, anything we want to call it, but those type of things are so important. Now, it says, while undergoing persecution, many first century believers in Jesus wanted to drop out of the race for Christ, but James encouraged them to keep running. If they patiently endured testing, God promised a double reward. And that's in James 1, 4, and 12. First, perseverance would finish its work, so they could be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Second, God would give them the crown of life, life in Jesus on earth, and the promise of being in his presence in the life to come. Some days, Christian's race feels like it's not the one we signed up for. It's something longer and more difficult than we expected. But as God provides what we need, we can persevere and keep on running. Okay, he says, what difficulty are you enduring right now? What can you do to remain faithful to God as you undergo testing? Everybody bow their head and join me in prayer this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this special day, Father God, you've created. We'll be glad and rejoice and be glad in it. So thank you, Lord God. Joy to the Lord is our strength. We've got to keep that in mind, Lord God, as we come before humbly, before a humble God. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives. I mean, I know a lot of times we probably even start the question, but we shouldn't. God, you're in control. You still sit at the right hand, Father, intervening for each and every one of us. Help us lean on your understanding, not our own, Father God, because I know, you know, it's just a lot of us I know, and some people, I'm not saying there's a lot of people have relying on you, but they still have that tendency to step out in you, Lord God. I mean, not you, but on their own. And as long as, you know, if we started the day in prayer and then we stepped out in faith, that's the beginning, and we need to do that. Pray up, as we call it back there, and they used to do that years ago, I guess in the government, and pray this way. They keep on getting need prayer every single day. So all of us, I'm thankful for the prayer warriors we have, situations and families to jobs to, you name it, the universe, globally, all around. Prayer, effectual, fervent prayer, righteous man, avails much, and do we need it, Father God? And that's why God calls the ones, he is faithful. He is asking you to receive, because as long as it's not about self, but he, most of the time, he will answer according to what he has a plan for you, for the kingdom, to glorify him. So we need to, the wants and the needs and things like that, as Jim, all of us would mention prayer this morning, that's separate. You know, those type of things, you know, if we can get by on a daily basis, continue to lean on him. And just the things that are coming, he gives us only what we can handle. So the thing is, even though sometimes we think we've kind of overdone it, or, you know, we're just dragged out, you know, because the enemy's out and about. We're in the last days here, and he's going to try to do what he can. But, you know, the thing is, we have victory in the end, and we have to look on those. We won the war, but it's the little battles that we need God for, don't we? You know, it's thank you, Lord, for answering those prayers. Thank you for not forsaking us, as one of many promises. We need you with us at all times, and we need to be able to communicate. That's instructional manual, our Bible, that we need to be in it daily, and we need to be in prayer daily. So pray up before you go out of that house in the morning, hopefully. No one's suggesting a certain time to pray, but if you need to pray and work to work during the day, or break time, or lunch, or whatever, call if you have that, or at home, or wherever you may be, in the local supermarket. You know, I used to pray, Father God, you just, in small things, we'd say, you get near a grocery store or something like that, you'd pray, hey, how about something up front, Lord? Sure enough, within a short time, there's one opening. You know, something simple like that sometimes, but you know, he cares about the simple things, as we call it simple, but everything thing in everybody's life here, individually, corporately, he cares about. So he wants us to do our homework, stay in tune with what's happening around us, be ever alert to prayer, to things that, you know what, the prayer chain is great, it's awesome. A lot of people are on the way, a lot of things happening in everybody's lives, and we pray up and we continue to be together in this, in unity. And this is what's so great. That's what keeps us together, keeps us as a family. We keep going, so we keep looking to you. So we lift that up to you today, Father God. Everything and anything we do today would be pleasing to you, and we ask it in your name. Amen.
And turn with me, please, to 2 Peter chapter 1. I might actually finish chapter 1 today. But I'm going to start reading at verse 10. Cover a little bit of what we covered last week to come into this week's message. Therefore, brethren, verse 10, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for your word. God, we ask that you will speak to our hearts this morning. Lord Jesus, we need to hear from you. We need so desperately to hear from our God who is in heaven. Holy Spirit, breathe life into your word this morning. And Lord, I ask that you will use me, a broken crackpot, a broken vessel, that you will pour your glory through the cracks in my life. Father, I stand before you, not a perfect man, one who sins and falls short of your glory. But you've made me perfect by your blood. And I praise you for that, Lord. So feed us this morning. Tell us, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Give us ears to hear. And then hearts to obey. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Hallelujah. What are these things? But these things you will see, and we went through last week in verse 5, 6, and 7. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And all of that, I believe that Peter was saying, is all God is asking from you and from me. Look, God's not asking you to be perfect. All right? Aren't you glad of that?
Yes,
you know, he doesn't expect that you're just going to be walking in purity and holiness all the time, that you're never going to mess up. Because God is a real God.
Right.
And he has a realistic understanding of you. And he knows that if he was to levy that upon you, that would be something that you just cannot give him. So that in itself shows how much you fall short. But he still loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And he asked you, and he asked me, to mature in our walk. I hope that I am much more of a godly man now than I was 5 years ago. And I pray to God that I'll be much more of a godly man in 5 years from now than I am now. That God wants us to grow in his holiness. He wants us to grow in all of these things, which really is the fruit of the Spirit. Do you have the Spirit of God within you this morning? Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Then you have the fruit of the Spirit in you. It may be at different levels of maturity, but you have. God doesn't come in bits and pieces. I understand that this morning. He doesn't come in bits and pieces. But he does give us the power of the Holy Spirit to grow in him and in the power of his might. So we are to grow in him. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. What he's saying there is you will be one sure-footed person. Hallelujah. As you climb the mountain of God. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah for that. For an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly. Do you understand that this morning? You have an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God. And it's not something that you have done. It's not something that you're able to manufacture. It was done on the cross by Jesus Christ. He gave you and he gave me an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God. It is very narrow, but it is very abundant. See, there's only one way to heaven. Amen. You understand that this morning. Jesus Christ said himself, excuse me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by
me.
Not me, but Jesus. He is the only way. And I am so blessed that he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will make that abundant way into my kingdom through my blood if you will just receive me as my Lord, as your Lord and Savior. That's the abundance. See, when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord, what happened then is I was a babe in Christ. I was just a babe suckling kid, little baby in Christ. But you know, little babies, they grow up, right? It's like puppies, they grow up into dogs. Babies, they grow up. How come they grow up? Because they have a mother and a father that will nurture them, will feed them, will train them, will teach them, will model for them what it is to be an adult. They grow up in the ways of the Lord. And that's what Peter wants of us, is to grow up in the Lord. And understand that God has given an abundant. I lost my place right here in regard to the. That's right, an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God. Praise God for that. In Psalm, look with me in Psalm 78.
Psalm what?
Psalm 78. Psalm 78. In Psalm 78, at verse 12, you ever doubt God would really, really has the power to bless you with an abundant entrance into his kingdom? Listen just to these things. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers. Verse 12 of Psalm 78. In the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan, he divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the water stand up like a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Hallelujah. This is what God can. God has the power to do beyond what you can even ask or think.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And you know, when I come into heaven, I am blessed and to know that I'm going to be in heaven. And that's should be good enough. But I also know that there are rewards in heaven. And I want my rewards. I want to, how can I say this? I'm only worthy because of his blood. Only because of his blood. But he's clear in his word about the rewards to the saints who live their life for him. I can't imagine what the rewards are for somebody like Billy Graham. You know? I mean, it's amazing. But you know, Billy Graham himself, all he wanted was just to be in the kingdom. All he wanted is to know his eternity was blessed to be with the Lord and not in hell. That he was going to be in a place where the streets are paved with gold and where the pure gold, so pure it even says it's transparent.
Come on.
Where the doors into the rooms are made out of rubies and sapphires, and you know, I have a vivid imagination, but when I read Revelation and the description of what heaven is, it's just beyond my understanding.
Oh, yeah.
Far beyond my understanding. But it says, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 12, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you of you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. See, Peter is saying here, for this reason, I will not be negligent. He's not going to draw back from the calling that he had on his life. He's going to remind you of these things. He was reminding the people that he was writing this letter to of these things. And because of this letter, he's reminding us. Though you know and are established in the present truth. He knew these people were established in the present truth. But that word established that is used there is stenezo, and it means to turn resolutely in a certain direction. It's not established like standing on a foundation. But he's saying here that he wants you to be established in that you've turned to and you're facing and you're staying the course. You're not allowing yourself to move to the left or to the right, but you're staying the course. And he's saying here to them, he says, though you know and are established in the present truth, Peter is saying to them, I recognize how resolutely you are in being focused on the truth and moving towards the truth. But even though you're focused on it and even though you're moving on it, I'm still going to remind you. I'm still going to stand behind you. I want you to know that I am part of your what is it they have in for sports, and they have all the people, the what? The cheerleaders. Thank you. Look, when you get, see, I'm allowed to have brain cramps, right? At this age, amen. Yeah, you're close up too, you know. Yeah, and John, I bet you have a brain cramp every now and then, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly. I'm so glad of that abundant entrance that I have, that God has given me. I want to encourage you this morning. I was listening to I'm reading a book in preparation for the class on homiletics that I'm going to be teaching in the future. And in that book, it made a distinction between teaching and preaching. Teaching is simply impartation of knowledge. That's it, to teach. Preaching is a gift that God gives to motivate you to move towards that knowledge and allow that knowledge to be ingrained within you so that now it's not just here, but it's here. And when it gets here, it begins to change you. You can have it up here all you want, and it's not going to change you. Some of the greatest seminaries that were and colleges that were established in the 1700s, 1800s, were for the purpose of raising up missionaries and the purpose of raising up pastors and teachers And now what are they doing? They're turning out secular humanists.
Right, they are.
Because they neglected the preaching of the word that would motivate people to move in the ways of the Lord, in the ways of his word. So God is calling, even Paul said, how are they going to know without a preacher? He didn't say know without a teacher. There's an abundance of teachers. There's few preachers that are who purpose to motivate the body of Christ to grow in him and in the power of his might.
Right.
So here, Peter, he's preaching to them. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I understand that you're moving towards it, but I'm still going to continue to encourage you to continue to move. We all need encouragement, don't we?
Yes.
Every single one of us need to know that we've got some cheerleaders in our life.
Absolutely.
We need people that we know they're standing behind us. They may be in the wings, but you know that they are praying for you. You know that they are being focused in their friendship with you. I have a dear, dear friend down in Florida. His name's Joseph. He's in the process of passing away from kidney failure. He is a dear, dear friend of mine. We went through Bible school together. But you know, Joseph's one of my cheerleaders, but I'm also one of his. And we don't talk together very often. Sometimes there may be a couple months will go by where we haven't touched base. But you know, when we do touch base, it's like we didn't have any time whatsoever in separation. We're just, hey, Joe, how you doing? Joseph. He hates being called Joseph. That's okay. I don't like being called Matt. I'm Matthew, all right? That's the way my mother named me, Matthew. So he and I will just talk, and it's like we haven't. There hasn't been these 2 months or 3 months separation. You know, some of these people when you finally get to connect with them, and they look at you and they go, "How come I haven't heard from you in the last 3 months?" And I said, "Well, I'm sorry, but you know the phone does work both ways." This is usually my response. You know, and. But we're each other's cheerleaders. We're each other's prayer partners. We're each other's friend, close friends. Even though there's like 1,400 miles between us. He wants me to do his funeral. And I told him, with everything that's going on in my life up here and not knowing when you're going to go home and be with the Lord, you can't count on me being there. And he says, "You know something, Matthew? That's okay. You know why? Because you and me are going to be spending all eternity together anyways." You know? See, he's not worried about the earthly stuff. He's worried about, and he's concerned about the heavenly things. Even more so because he's so close to that threshold of coming into heaven. And Joseph, you're listening this morning, I just want you to know I love you, man. I love you, man. Peter is saying, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of the things, though you know, of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up. Mm-hmm. See, what Peter was saying here is he's like, you don't have to worry about it. I ain't going to retire. As long as I am in this tent, I am going to fulfill the calling that God has placed upon my life. As long as I am in this tent, I am going to pursue the Lord and I am going to pursue you. As long as I am in this tent, I'm going to be a bother to you. I am going to remind you. I'm going to constantly take the word of God and I'm bringing it before you and challenge you, will you walk in this way? Will you take this word and ingrain it into your heart? Will you take this word and make it a part of your life? Not just a part, but the part of your life. Are you going to be a man or a woman that's going to want to eat the Word of God and consume the Word of God and allow the Word of God to become a part of you? You know, they say when in the physical realm that your body is what you eat. You're going to eat junk. Your body's going to become a piece of junk. Amen? Am I correct on that?
You are.
All right, stay away from sugar. But Peter is reminding them, I'm going to stir you up. And the word he used to stir up here means to awaken. It means to arouse. Don't sleep in Jesus. Don't take time off from God's word. Paul said it a little differently in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul said it this way, and it's in the same vein that Peter was in. Because remember, Paul also said to Timothy in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 6, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Do you love his appearing?
Yes. Yes.
See, this is what Peter is saying. And Paul went on, said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'll get the first and second straightened out here in a minute. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. He says, "Therefore I remind you," say remind you,
"to
stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Now what Paul used here to word for stir up is anazupuro. I can't even say it. But it means to rekindle. It means to stir up. It means to revive by fire.
Yes, come on.
So between Peter and Paul, Peter is saying, "I'm trying to wake you up." Paul's saying, "I'm trying to fire you up."
Good. We need to fire.
But God wants us to be awakened, and he wants us to be on fire for him.
Amen.
You want revival?
Yeah.
Then get on fire for Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We think of revival as where like the whole community comes to know Jesus. Well, that is a revival, but God is more importantly wanting to revive you.
That's right.
And if you will get revived, and you get revived, and you get revived, and you, my sister, get revived, and you get revived, guess what happens? A community gets revived. A revival breaks out, but it's not something that is in mass. It happens individually, and as individual, as individual, as individual, it's on fire for the Lord, it spreads. Oh, man, it spreads. Oh, what a fire a spark can kindle. Yes, I think it is right. As long as I am in this tent, I have a life calling.
Right.
As long as I am in this tent, I will be a pastor and a preacher of the Word of God. Verse 14, "Knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me." In John chapter 21, verse 18 and 19, let's go there. John chapter 19. Excuse me, John 21, 18 and 19. In John chapter 21, verse 18 and 19. Now it's interesting. What Jesus said here to Peter was right after Peter was restored to Jesus. Remember when Jesus was was standing before his accusers, and this woman came out and said, "I know you. Your speech betrays you. You're one of his."
"I am not.
I am not. I am not." He even swore.
He did.
And Jesus looked at him, and it said Peter ran out
and he wept.
And wept bitterly, realizing how much he had disqualified himself before the Lord and denying him. Now, Jesus was crucified. 3 days later, he raised from the dead. Hallelujah. But then he appears to them by the seashore. Cooked up some fish for them already. And he goes and he asks Peter. And he said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" See, in verse 15, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' And he said, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said, 'Feed my lambs.' And he said to them again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' And he said, 'Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' Then he said to him a third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all these things. You know that I love you.' And Jesus said to him, 'Then feed my sheep.'" Now here was Jesus' reward to Peter. "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by the death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" So Peter, I fully restore you from your sin of denying me. And here's the reward. You're going to get what I got. So come and follow me. Tradition says that Peter was crucified upside down because he didn't find himself worthy of being crucified the way Jesus was. So he chose to be crucified upside down. And here Peter is saying in 2 Peter chapter 13, "Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off this tent." So he's signifying he knows he's close to that day that he's going to die. "Just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me." You see, Peter is saying here, that day that God, Jesus restored me, and then he showed me and told me how I'm going to die, and that is about to come up, and there's no hint of remorse. There's no hint of being angry or that I have to die this way. This is just a resolute, I am staying the course. Would you stay the course? Would I stay the course under those circumstances? Peter is saying, "Know that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me." Verse 15, "Moreover, I will be careful to Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." I'm writing this down so you will have this letter to continue to remind you when I'm gone. And this letter has survived to this day, that Peter is reminding you and reminding me to stay the course. He's using this letter to stir you up. He's using this to awaken the church. He's using these words that has come down through the course of 21 centuries so that we can be reminded and that we can be stirred up. I ask you this morning, are you established in the present truth? Are you established? You know, he says that in verse 12, he says, "Know that you that though you know and are established in the present truth. He didn't say in the past truth. He said in the present truth. Is God's word present to you now?
Yes.
Is it relevant to you now?
Yes.
See, that's what he's saying. The present truth, where God's word was written centuries ago, is very present in my life today, centuries later. And it is guiding me. And it is ensuring me. And it's in God's word by his Holy Spirit is empowering me to walk that walk of holiness and purity. And to know, boy, when I mess up, God is right there to forgive me and to love me and restore me as he restored Peter. There's a lot more I could say, but I'll pick up the next time I'm in the pulpit at verse 16. But I ask you this question this morning, and I ask those of you, we got a bunch of people watching online this morning that just couldn't bear the 3 inches. No. It was only 3 inches of snow. If that, yeah. Are you established in the present truth?
Yes.
Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Are you taking his word and causing your word to be relevant today in your life? Let's pray. Father, we bless you and we praise you, Lord. I thank you for your word is yea and amen. And I do ask you, Lord Jesus, that you will awaken us and that you will fire us up. That you will use us, Lord, for your kingdom, to be kingdom builders.
Yes.
I pray, Father, for a spirit of evangelism to fall on each one of us, Lord, that we would hunger and thirst for your word and hunger and thirst to share your word with others. Lord, I pray that there will be testimonies given in this church of ones that have led people to you, that prayed with you, with them to receive you. And Lord, even now, this morning, with our heads bowed, and those online, I'm going to ask that you would just pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I need you. I cannot save myself. I sin, I've fallen short of your glory. I confess to you my need for my Savior. Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. I confess now that you are Lord and that you were raised from the dead for me. Thank you, Jesus. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then would you be willing to raise your hand? No? We're all believers here. All right. Well, anybody online, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, please get in touch with me. And we want to send you a Bible. We've got a brand new Bible we want to give you. We love giving away God's word. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Father, right now, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Every service, I conclude with this blessing.
Yes.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his countenance, make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. That the Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That peace that surpasses all understanding and will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. I pray that in his as his countenance comes upon you and it shines upon you, that he impart to you that desire to lead people to the Lord. That a spirit of evangelism would fall upon this place in power and in might. And I thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.